It is good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. And while you're sitting there at home, something dawned on me this past week that some of you might be laid back in your recliner and you need to sit up, that you might pay attention to what God has to say today. So I pray you'll sit up in your recliner, sit up on your couch. I pray you'll get your Bibles open and be finding John the 14th chapter, because family and friends, you need to turn there, because we're going to talk in just a few moments about these three verses here in John 14. Now, last week, God spoke to us about the reality of hell, and this week, God is going to share with us about the reality of heaven. And so, let's go ahead and read it in John 14, beginning in verse 1. The word of our Lord says unto us, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Would you bow your heads with me in prayer? Father God, we just thank you for the message last week that stirred the hearts of many, Father, that spoke about the awful realities of hell. And Father, as we come today, I know that many hearts will be encouraged, and Father, that you speak to us about the reality of heaven. And so, Lord, I pray that you would take your word and send it down through the valley here, Green Valley, like a cloven fire, Lord, that your spirit would go through this valley and speak to hearts, men's, women's, and children's hearts, that they would turn unto you if they do not know you. And, Father, for those who do know you, may you set our hearts afire, that we would go out and get on the phone and tell people about Jesus Christ, that he is coming again. And Lord, one thing we know, we are living in that time, and soon and very soon we're going to see the King. And so, Lord, we're looking forward to it. Father, we need to take as many with us as we can before we leave this place. And Lord, I pray that you would set our hearts attuned to doing just that. May we speak it to our children and our children's children. May we speak it to our neighbor. May we speak it to all who come in contact with us, Lord, over the phone or social media. May we be telling people about the Lord Jesus Christ and his coming again for his church. Lord, bless these words today as only you can. And Father, we will give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Family and friends, the Lord Jesus is speaking here, and he is sharing what our ears long to hear and what our hearts long to believe, the assurance of the reality of heaven. And with that said, no matter how I preach this morning, I cannot do heaven justice, because on the one hand, we're limited in our knowledge of heaven. And that's because, like I shared in last week's message, God shares with us in his word more about what's not going to be in heaven than what's going to be in heaven. But on the other hand, the Bible gives us all that we need to know. And what we need to know is will leave us in breathless wonder. I don't know about you. I certainly would hope that you're looking for heaven, because I certainly am. I tell you, life's been good to me here on this earth, but it cannot be compared to the glories that are going to be revealed for us in heaven. And so, you see, one of the things that we know from Scripture is that God has purposely held back from us some information regarding heaven. But the Apostle Paul, you'll remember if you've read your Bible, took his sojourn into heaven. The Bible says that he went to heaven, and this is what Paul said: "I don't know whether I was in my body or out of my body, but I was caught up into paradise, into the third heaven." And he came back and he said, "I saw there unutterable things, things not lawful to declare." Well, family and friends, God has saved something very wonderful for us in this place called heaven. And so I want to share with you this morning just a few facts about heaven. And fact number one is this, because we're living in a world today where a lot of people don't believe in hell and they don't believe in heaven. They just think eat, drink, and be merry, because after this, that's it, that's the end of it. Well, I want you to know that heaven is a real place. Heaven is not a condition. It's not a state of mind. It's not some will of the wisp. It's not some feeling. Heaven is a real place on God's map. And because in God's Word, God allowed Paul to share with us just a tiny fragment about his journey to heaven. And I'd like to share that with you this morning. You see, Paul says in 2 Corinthians 12, verses 2 and 4, I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago. Whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth. Such an one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth, how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. And so Paul is telling us about his experience, and he says, I am a man in Christ. And I pray that all the men out there can say, I am a man in Christ. That all the women can say, I'm a woman in Christ. That all every child could say, I am a child in Christ. Paul says, I am a man in Christ. And then he also goes on and he says, whether I was in my body or out of my body, I do not know. And yet his words tell us something very important here about heaven. He tells us you can go to heaven in your body or you can go to heaven out of your body. Heaven is such a real place that it can accommodate and care for a real body. Or you can go there in your spirit. So Paul said, I don't know whether I was in my body, whether I was out of my body. God knows such a one caught up to the third heaven. Here again what he said. And I knew such a man. Whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. That's very interesting, isn't it? We say heaven is a real place. And in the Bible, we talk of heaven as being up. The Apostle Paul says, I was caught up into heaven. And you all know there are naysayers, those who laugh at us, who really believe the Bible literally. They would say, well, you ignoramus, don't you know the earth is round? Now, Paul, he's in Palestine. And he's pointing to heaven. He said, it's up. But what about somebody over in Australia and they're pointing this way and they're saying heaven is up? They're pointing in two different directions. The Apostle Paul is in Palestine. He's going heaven's up. Some old fellas down there in Australia, he's going heaven's up. And it's in two opposite directions. Well, understand the people in Bible times thought the earth was flat. But today we know it's round. So how can heaven be up if it's in two different directions? Well, you know, I think God understands all this stuff. And there's one place on the face of the earth, on the globe, that is always up. Do you know where it is? It's north. No matter where you are on the planet, people always talk about going down south or up north. Why? Because north is a fixed position. If you were to take a camera and open up the lens of that camera and put that lens on the North Star and leave that lens open, you would see all of the other stars. You could see all the other stars rotating around that North Star and it would never move. See, it's a fixed position. Now, the Bible teaches that heaven is north. Did you know that? Let me give you some scriptures that will prove the point that heaven is north. The prophet Isaiah said, and this is talking about the fall of Satan from heaven now, and this is what Isaiah wrote, for thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, I will be like the Most High. And so you see, Satan says here, I'm going about the stars, I'm going up to the place of God, And I'm going to exalt my throne there in the north, in the sides of the north. Well, over in the book of Leviticus, God was instructing his people on how to make a blood sacrifice. And this is what he said. And he shall kill it on the side of the altar northward before the Lord. Northward before the Lord. Leviticus 11 or 1:11. In Psalms, God is talking about promotion, where promotion comes from. And God says this, for promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south, but God is the judge. Well, what is the inference we can draw from these scriptures? Where is God? Where is heaven? God is in the north, and promotion comes from God. Paul says, I was caught up into the third heaven. Did you know that the Bible speaks about three heavens? For example, the Bible speaks about the fowls of the heaven. That's the atmospheric heaven in Jeremiah 15:3. And then over in Isaiah 13:10, the Bible speaks about the stars of heaven. Well, that's the stellar heavens. And then God speaks of heaven, which is the abode of God. And Paul says, I went on up there. Somewhere, there is a real place. It's in the north. It's called heaven. And Paul says, I could have gone there in my body. I could have gone there out of my body. And by the way, there Jesus is there today in his body. There is a man in glory. Amen. And so somebody says of these three heavens, the first we see by day, the second we see by night. But friend, the third, you're only going to see it by faith. Do you have the kind of faith that's going to see you home to heaven? Now, I just love the way that's phrased. Heaven is a real place. And one day, you'll go there in a resurrected body. You see, you got to have something to put that resurrected foot on. I'm so glad that heaven is a real place. Now, there's a second fact I want us to learn about heaven this morning. 2 Corinthians 5, 6, and 8. The saved go to heaven immediately upon death. Listen to what the Bible says. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with our Lord. Now, what's a body? Well, the body is this house we live in. And inside this body, we're a home in our body, if you will. And in this body right now today, we are absent from the Lord. That is his literal presence, for we walk by faith and not by sight. You ever think about what faith is? What is faith? Forsaking all, I trust him. Isn't it great if you have faith to know you have someone who's real, someone you can trust in? And Paul says, we walk by faith, not by sight. Friend, if you can see it, it's not faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And Paul says here, and he says in 2 Corinthians 5, we are confident, I say, and willing to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. And so that's the reason I say you can go to heaven in a body or out of a body. You can be absent from your body and go to heaven, or you can go to heaven in a resurrected body. Listen, saints go immediately to heaven upon death. Now, some folks believe that the soul is sound asleep there in the grave to await the resurrection, but that's not true at all. You see, the soul does not sleep in the grave awaiting the resurrection. The body awaits the resurrection, but the spirit. The moment we close our eyes and sleep, we're set free. Friend, you're either going to step up with God or you're going to step down like we talked about last week. And I know in last week's message we lit a whole lot of people up. You see, there are some people today who just don't believe in hell, but hell is a real place, and you need to understand something. You need to have a heart that is right with God, because, friend, when you leave this earth, you want to be going up. You want to be going home to the north. You want to be going home with God, amen? And so you can be absent from the body and go to heaven, or you can go to heaven in a resurrected body, but when you close your eyes and sleep, you're in one or the other place. You're either in heaven with Jesus or you're in hell with the devil. And I pray that you'll be in heaven with Jesus. Amen. You see, the soul does not sleep in the grave, But the spirit of those who have a relationship with Jesus Christ, that's what we're talking about, they go immediately to be with Jesus. What did Jesus tell that dying thief on the cross? You say, Pastor, well, how can you be so certain of that? Well, here's how I can be. What did Jesus say to that thief on the cross? He said, today you will be with me in paradise. When Jesus bowed his head and he gave up the ghost, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And you know, over there in the book of Acts, when Deacon Stephen was stoned and martyred for his faith, he looked up. And when he looked up, he said, I see heaven. And he said, I see Jesus on the right hand of the Father. And then he prayed, Father, receive my spirit. Oh, we can take a lesson this morning from Deacon Stephen there in the book of Acts. Family and friends, listen, there comes a time when we move out of this body and we move into position with our Lord in heaven. Paul said in Philippians 1 and 23, he said, for I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Oh, are you in that kind of strait this morning? Do you have a desire to be with Jesus in heaven this morning? I pray so, friend. There's a third fact. You know, I'm asked this question often as a pastor. Here's how they put it. Pastor, will we know our loved ones in heaven? Well, friend, I want to tell you, we will know our loved ones in heaven. Now, 1 Corinthians 13:12 says this, for now we see through a glass darkly. See, in Bible times, they didn't have mirrors like we do today with quicksilver on them. What they had to do is take old brass pot or something and polish it up. And Bible translators called it a glass, but it wasn't really a glass. It was a brass reflector. They could look in it, but they couldn't see as we see ourselves today in these mirrors with quicksilver. And so that's what Paul meant. See, he's using what was available in his times. And so he says that's what he means by we see through a glass darkly. But then the Bible goes on and he writes, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even also as I also am known. You see, folks, we don't really know one another down here, do we? The real question is not will we know our loved ones in heaven. For the Bible teaches that we most definitely will. The real question is, do we know one another now? When Samuel was going to anoint the king of Israel, God told Samuel, don't look on his countenance, don't look at his height or of his stature. And he was talking about Eliab, for I have refused him. And this is instructive for us, because God says, and he's teaching us, I don't see as any man sees. Y'all look on the outward appearance, but I look on the heart. Listen, God looks on the heart today. And family and friends, one thing I can tell you, God is looking at your heart right now. God's word never goes out void. The Bible says the eyes of the Lord go to and fro throughout the earth looking to see whose heart is for him. God does not see as a man sees. When we look out, we look on the countenance of somebody. We look at their features. We say whether, well, I think she's cute or I think he's handsome or, boy, look at him, I wish I could be like that one. But we only looking at the outward. We don't even know what they like. Will we know one another when we get home to heaven? Of course we will. I want to share something with you. It comes from the book of 2 Samuel. Y'all remember that David, he was a man after God's own heart, but friend, he was far from perfect. And what happened in David's life gives us tremendous hope, because God had to forgive David of a tremendous sin. Now, we ain't going to focus on the sin this morning, because sin is sin. But we're going to focus on what David had to say. See, King David had a baby, the result of his sin. And that child died. And before that child died, David prayed for God. Oh, I can just picture him laying there just a praying away. Oh, God, forgive me. Spare this little baby. Oh, God, don't take it out on the baby. Oh, God, take it out on me. Oh, God, spare the life of this child. You can imagine for yourselves what David might have been praying. But God didn't. And then the Bible says this in 2 Samuel 12:20-23. Then David arose from the earth and washed and anointed himself and changed his apparel and came into the house of the Lord and worshipped. Then he came to his own house, and when he required, they set bread before him and he did eat. Then said his servants unto him, What thing is this that thou hast done? Thou didst fast and weep for the child while it was alive, but when the child was dead, thou didst rise and eat bread. And he said, While the child was yet alive, I fasted and wept, for I said, Who can tell whether God will be gracious to me that the child may live? But now he is dead, wherefore should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him. I shall go to him. But he shall not return to me. And oh, the comfort of those words. I will go to him. You see, we go to our loved ones in heaven. Those who've gone on before us. You know, I got a grandfather, Daddy Happ. He's up in heaven today. I tell you, I'm looking forward to seeing Daddy Happ again. I got a mama up in heaven today. Oh, I can't wait to see the eyes of my mama. To look upon her. To see her joy. And then I can't wait to see Jesus. Oh, I'm looking forward to seeing Jesus. I can't wait to lay my eyes on the one who died for me. I'm going home to heaven, and I pray you could say the same. See, we go to our loved ones. The Apostle Paul is talking about the second coming of Jesus Christ. And one of the things he was telling the church over there at Thessalonica is, you can look forward to the second coming of Christ and our being gathered not only to meet the Lord, but to meet one another. And I'd like you to write these verses down, 1 Thessalonians 4:16-17. Hear what God has to say to us. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. That's talking now about a body that's in the grave. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. I don't know about you, friend. I ain't looking for no undertaker. I'm looking for the uppertaker. Jesus is coming soon. And 1 Thessalonians 5:15 speaks of Jesus who died for us. And then whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Oh, what does the Bible teach about the saints who died? It teaches about them going to be with their people. Oh, friend, God said to Moses, Get thee on up into that mountain and die in the mountain and be gathered unto thy people. Now, Moses' mother that made him that little ark, she passed away long before this. And God said to him, Get thee up into the mountain and be gathered to thy people. In essence, what God was saying, Moses, go see your mama. Abraham knew what that was going to be like. He was going to have a family reunion. The Bible says in Genesis 25:8, and Abraham gave up the ghost and died in a good old age, an old man in full of years, and was gathered to his people. Listen to what the Bible says about Isaac. And Isaac gave up the ghost and died and was gathered unto his people, being old and full of days. Listen to what the Bible says about Jacob and his family reunion in heaven in Genesis 49:33. And when Jacob had made an end of commanding his sons, he gathered up his feet into the bed and yielded up the ghost and was gathered unto his people. One day, friend, I'm going home. I'm going to be gathered unto my people. What about you? Now in his body is still somewhere smoldering in the grave, but he's gathered with his people. That's what Jesus talked about. He talked about a family reunion in heaven. In Matthew 8 and 11, he said, "And I say unto you, that many shall come from the east and the west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven." We're going to have fellowship up in heaven. We're going to know them. I know what you're thinking. You say, "Well, I ain't never seen Abraham. How am I going to know who Abraham is? I never seen Isaac." Boy, preacher, you out your mind. Well, friend, on the Mount of Transfiguration, when Jesus was on that mountain, he was up there with Moses and Elijah. They'd been long gone by the time the disciples rolled around. But you know, those disciples knew who they were. So you can put it down big, you can put it down plain, and you can put it down straight. We will know one another up in heaven. There's another fact I want to share with you, a fourth fact about heaven. There's going to be joyful activity up in heaven. You know, there's some foolish myths about heaven today, isn't there? One of those myths is that, you know, when you die, you go to heaven, you just sit up on some cloud, and you have a halo on your head, and you're just plucking away on your little harp. Well, I tell you what, I've seen a lot of fluffy clouds in my time. I looked on up there and I ain't seen a single saint sitting on a cloud plucking on a harp with a halo. You say that's just a myth. And then today, especially among all generations, we hear this excuse from people, "Well, you know, heaven's going to be so boring, we're just going to have to sit around and sing anthems all day. We're going to have to be in church all night, but I don't know if I can go to heaven." I'm going to tell you, there's going to be music up in heaven, but it isn't going to be boring whatsoever. Heaven is called heaven's rest, but it's never called heaven's laziness. It's not just going on home to heaven, it's a loll around for all eternity. You see, Adam had to do work before sin entered the garden, but it wasn't labor. It wasn't by the sweat of his brow like it was after sin. He was to dress the garden of God and he was to keep it. And in Luke 19, our Lord is talking about what we're going to be doing in heaven. And so he shares with us a parable that oftentimes we bring it down here to earth when we ought to be thinking about what it means for heaven. He said there, "Therefore a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, 'Occupy till I come.' But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him saying, 'We will not have this man to reign over us.' And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. And then came the first, saying, 'Lord, thy pound had gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, Well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, 'Lord, thy pound had gained 5 pounds. Now, I don't want to go any deeper into this, except to tell you that our Lord has given to each of us certain abilities. For example, this morning we've had been great opportunity to listen to the Williams family singers. And boy, when you look at that piano there and that guitar and then that bass and banjo and Jimmy, if that was a ukulele or what that was. But man, there's a whole lot of instruments. And then they were singing. And I tell you, the reason I don't sing is because I like to have people to preach to. And so God has given each of us certain abilities. And he has made us stewards over these gifts and abilities. And this is what he says. He says, "Occupy till I come." Well, friend, that don't mean just take up space. Now, there's a lot of you couch potatoes out there today, and a lot of people, they're just doing this. You know, they become thumb idiots playing all those video games, if you will. And all you're doing is taking up space. And God said, don't take up space. He said, "Occupy be about the Lord's business till I come. And so to occupy implies an occupation. And our Lord says to us, get busy. And I believe one of the reasons for this time out, if you will, in this pandemic is because the church had not been busy about the Lord's business. We got busy about our business. And all we were was busy. We need to be busy about His business, you see. And so He's going to reward us according to our labor if we will joyfully serve Him here and we'll joyfully serve Him throughout eternity. You see, we're going to help our Lord rule and reign this vast universe. Paul said, if we suffer with Him, we shall also reign with Him. And here's a great verse from the book of Revelation 7 and 15. The apostle John had a glimpse into glory. And he saw the servants of God in glory. And here's how he described them. He said, therefore are they before the throne of God and serve Him day and night in His temple. I don't know about you, but the greatest joy I have is in serving the Lord Jesus Christ. I only wish I could do it better than I do it. What a privilege it is to serve the Lord. And did you hear that prayer from the lips of a brother this morning? Oh, preach this preacher like he's never preached before. I tell you, that gets me excited. Because I can only imagine what God's going to do with a prayer like that. And I can hear God now. Well, Brother Randy, I ain't got much to work with, but I'll do what I can for him. We're going to serve God in heaven, amen? And I can promise you it's not going to be boring. It's going to be thrilling, it's going to be a blessing, and it's going to be joyful. There's a fifth fact I want to share with you about heaven this morning. Heaven is a place of absolute perfection. Now remember, we know more what will not be in heaven than we do about what will be in heaven. And yet God does tell us that in heaven, and oh, how I love these words from Revelation 21 and 4. You know, down here we cry. Man, I hate it when I lose a church member here. I hate it when a loved one goes home. I hate it when I'm sad. And I cry. Mom will tell you, when we in heaven, there ain't going to be no more tears. And there's not going to be any more sighing. And oh, I hear a lot of people today, they just, there ain't going to be no more sighing in heaven. There ain't going to be no more crying. There ain't going to be no more dying. Oh, down here I hear people telling me, oh, preacher, I ache. I hurt. And I try to help people out like that when they have a, I got a dear brother named Claude. And him and I, we went into business. We tell anybody who's hurting with Claude, and I'll try and fix it for you. But you know, nobody's ever taken us up on it. But we try anyway. But you know, up in heaven, there ain't going to be no more pain. There ain't going to be no more sighing. There ain't going to be no more crying. There ain't going to be no more dying. That's the reason the Apostle Paul said, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. He goes on and he says, for I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. What is heaven? Heaven is the presence of all that is good, and it's the absence of all that is bad. Let me tell you what heaven is. Heaven, friend, is all that the loving heart of God would desire, all that the incredible mind of God can conceive, and all the almighty hand of God can create. Can you imagine what heaven is going to be like? Can you imagine someone who loved you so much that he gave his only begotten son to die for you? That's love, isn't it? Heaven is love. And not that we love God, but that He loved us. Heaven is all that the loving heart of God would desire, all that the incredible mind of God can conceive, and all that the almighty hand of God can create. Put it together, God's love, God's mind, God's power, and friend, that's heaven. No wonder the Apostle Paul said, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. No wonder Paul said, I have a desire to depart. You know, I came to church this morning and I got my sneakers on because I'm ready to run home to heaven. I'm ready to jump. I'm ready to shout. I'm ready to see Jesus this morning. And I wanted to make certain I had my fast shoes on. When you think of God's creative genius in this world, a world that's been marred by sin, and yet you go outside the doors of this wonderful church here and you look up there at Clinch Mountain, or you go and you look in the face of a red rose and you just study it, or at the crafted delicate wings of a butterfly as it's flitting about, even in a world that's marred by sin, we can see a glimpse, just a glimpse of the glory of God. And heaven's going to be the consummate work of God's creative genius. Family and friends, of this I can assure you, you're going to love heaven. Because Jesus said here in John 14:2, I go and prepare a place for you. You know, there's a story of a little girl who was blind, that she had never seen. But a surgeon believed that he could come and he could restore that child's sight, and the parents were willing, and so they went and they did the surgery. And her eyes were bandaged, and then came the time when the bandage was to be removed. And the great question in the doctor and parents' mind is, would she be able to see? They unwrapped the gauze and they took the bandage from those precious little eyes, and the doctor leaned over and he said, Sugar, open your eyes. That little girl's eyes opened and they blinked. And the first thing she saw was the face of that doctor. And then she saw the face of the nurse. And then she saw the face of her mama. And she saw a tear for the very first time in the eyes of her mama. And she said, Mama, oh mama, I can see. And she looked around at the things that were in that room and things that you and I take for granted. And then she went over to the window and she looked outside. And friends, she didn't see grass. She saw the green grass. She didn't see the sky. She saw the blue sky. She didn't see flowers. She saw the multicolored flowers. And she ran back and she told her mama. She said, Mama, Mama, it's so beautiful. Mama, why didn't you tell me it was this beautiful? And then her mother, through tears of joy, said, Sweetheart, I tried to tell you, but you had to see it for yourself. Heaven is a place of absolute perfection. But you have to see it for yourself. Fact number 6. Jesus is the crowning glory of heaven. Heaven is not primarily a place. Heaven is Jesus. Jesus said, I go and prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. See, the purpose of heaven is to be with Jesus. I'm looking forward to being with Jesus. Are you? Listen, if you're not looking forward to being with Jesus, but instead thinking of only of heaven as some sort of eternal vocation, then I want you to know something this morning. You're likely not saved. And you're likely not going home to heaven. Because heaven is where Jesus is. And friend, think about this. If you've got no time for Jesus down here on earth, why would Jesus have any time for you up in heaven? Because Jesus is the purpose and He's the focus of all that is heaven. Listen, when I go away and I return home, I don't come into my house and run over to my recliner and say, oh, recliner, oh, how I miss you. I don't run to my golf clubs and pull them out of the bag and go, oh, how I miss you, golf clubs. No, I run to my wife, Michelle. I grab my hold of my wife. I, I just dip her right on down there and plant a big old kiss on her. You see, Michelle is my home, if you will. And what makes my home a home is my Michelle. And without her, it's just a building with four walls, a roof, and a floor. Home is where our loved ones reside. And I use that to tell you that home is where Jesus is. Heaven is where Jesus is. Heaven can be spelled this way, J-E-S-U-S. What makes heaven heaven is Jesus. One of the great prayers that Jesus prayed is this: Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me. Let that sink in this morning. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me. Now you may be out there this morning, you have a loved one who's sick, and you're praying, God, oh God, don't let this person die. And it's all right to pray that prayer. We ought to be praying that kind of prayer. But we ought to understand also that there's somebody who is praying, and it's Jesus. And do you know what Jesus is praying? He's praying, Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory. I'm looking forward to beholding the glory of Jesus. If our loved one steps over the brook and looks into the face of Jesus in glory, do you think that's bad? Not at all. Listen, it'll be worth it all when we see Jesus. Last fact, as we come down to the end, friend, only the redeemed are going to heaven. You see, you have to be heaven-born to be heaven-bound. When the Bible says we must be born again, the literal language means to be born from above. If you're alive today, you've had an earthly birth. And now you're in need of a heavenly birth, which can only be found through a Jesus Christ. And if you're heaven born, you're going to be heaven bound. Let me give you a couple of scriptures, and I'm coming to the end. John again is in glory. And John sees this great multitude, and he asks this question, Revelation 7 and 14. And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest who are these. And he said to me, These are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Those in heaven are those who have been washed by the blood of the Lamb. You know, I hear people strut and talk about their denomination, but no denomination is going to see you home to heaven. Oh, I'm a dyed-in-the-wool Baptist, friend. Are you a washed-in-the-blood Baptist? These are they who made their robes white. I'm a member of Green Valley. Doesn't say anything about me being a member of Green Valley. I'm a good person. Doesn't say anything about being a good person. These are they who washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb. What does it mean? It means that we have repented of our sin and we have received Jesus Christ and His blood sacrifice for the atonement of our sins. John closes the book of Revelation talking about heaven, and he says, And there shall be in no wise enter into it any that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. A man dreamed a dream, and he came to the portals of heaven. And friend, he knocked on that pearly gate. It's just a dream now. And a voice within said, Who is it that seeks entrance into heaven? What is the password? And the man said, I'm a mortal man. Well, what is the password into heaven? And he piped up and he said, Honesty. And the voice within said, Depart from me, ye that work iniquity, I never knew you. Another man knocked at the portals of heaven, and the voice in heaven said, Who is it that desires entrance into heaven? What is the password? The man said, I'm a humanitarian. What is the password? And he said, Love, charity, good deeds. And the voice within said, Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you. And another knocked, and the voice within said, Who is it that seeks entrance into heaven? What is the password? And the man cried out, Oh, I'm a religious man. What is the Pap's word? And he said, religion, baptism, church membership, church attendance. And a voice within said, a word, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you. And finally, a fourth man came and he knocked on the door of heaven's portals. And friend, this is all just a dream now. But the voice within said, who is it that seeks entrance into heaven? What is the password? And the man on the outside said, I'm a Christian. I've repented of my sin. I gave my heart to Jesus Christ. I've been born again. In my hand, no price I bring, but to the cross I cling. And the voice within said, open the gate and let him in. For such is the kingdom of heaven. Have you ever done that? Have you ever said, Lord, I'm not trusting my honesty. I'm not trusting my good works. I'm not trusting my religion. I'm trusting you. Lord Jesus, thank you for dying for me. I trust you. Family and friend, if you've done that, I can promise you on the authority of the Word of God, you're going to be home in heaven. You're going to be heaven bound because you've been heaven born by the blood of the Lamb. Let's close our service in prayer. Father, my prayer is that many who've listened and will yet listen to this message will say an everlasting yes to Jesus Christ and be saved. For those who have listened and those who will listen later, how many of you would say, Pastor Don, I know if I died today, I'd go straight to heaven. Because I've repented of my sin, I've received Jesus Christ, I am heaven born and I am heaven bound. And I pray, oh friend, if you can say that today, isn't heaven going to be wonderful? But friend, if you cannot say that right now, you need to get it settled. Right now. Because one day, friend, you're going to be standing at heaven's gate. And don't you want to hear Jesus say, come on in. I hope and pray that you do. And if you do, I want you to pray this prayer. Dear God, I'm a sinner. I'm lost. And I need to be saved. I want to be saved. Jesus, you died to save me. You promised to save me if I would repent of my sin and receive you into my heart. And I do trust you with all of my heart, Jesus. Come in today. Forgive me of my sin and save me, Jesus. I trust you to do it right now. Thank you for doing it. You're right there at home and I pray you're on your knees or right there in your recliner or sitting on the couch. But you're praying, dear Jesus, save me. I repent and I want to receive your gift. Give me the courage to make it public. And in this day and age when we can't be in the church service, would you call the church? Would you call Green Valley? Would you write to us? Would you call and let us know, Pastor Don, I receive Jesus as my Savior. Family and friends, I hope you like me are looking forward with great anticipation and great joy to the reality of heaven. To that great day when we will see Jesus and be gathered together again unto our people for all eternity. Oh Lord, thank you for loving us so today. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. And amen. The Williams family is going to come and sing while you're there at home. We're going to be praying for you as they sing. Again, please call the church. Please let us know of any decisions that you've made today.